Yo, what's up? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Wednesday, December 4th, 2019. I'm one of your hosts, Blessing Adeoye. And joining me, of course, we have the Rogue One, Gary Whitta.
Hello, our first time hosting together.
Yeah, this is going to be exciting. Good one. I like your getup. I like your hat.
Nobody loves Christmas more than me.
Dude.
Bullshit.
Kevin, I'm not having it.
I have to adjust the cameras, otherwise I'm not going to
You showed us your socks earlier.
Oh yeah, so like I got the socks. Can I do this? Can I get them up there?
Oh my god!
I got it all going on.
That's incredible.
And let me tell you something, Blessing.
Yes.
This is just the beginning.
Really?
I've got three shows between now and Christmas. Right. There's three more Wednesdays between now and Christmas. Christmas actually falls on a Wednesday this year. And this is just the beginning. Each subsequent Widow Wednesday from now on, I'm going to be more and more Christmassy.
Now, is there going to be a Widow Wednesday on Christmas?
No. Well, I honestly would do it.
Really?
But I don't think Greg would put that on. But
like,
wait until you see my final form.
Oh my god.
It's going to be something to behold.
I feel like if you push it, Greg will allow it to happen on Christmas.
Let's see what happens. Maybe after my Christmas dinner.
Christmas morning, I'm celebrating at home with my family. Because I respect Christmas.
I mean, your family can come here, you know, bring the whole crew, bring the sisters.
Kevin and I got into it this morning about who loves Christmas the most. All I'm saying is, if you put the two of us together right now, and showed anyone a photograph of the two of us and says, which one of these two people do you think is more into Christmas?
One of us is making a joke out of Christmas, and another.
I'm making a joke.
Another one is.
Does this look like a joke to you?
Is this a joke to you?
Does that look like a joke to you?
I amuse you. I'm like a fucking clown.
What about
to you?
This looks like a joke to you, Kevin?
The hat and the shirt.
So look, it's Santa Claus.
No, I get
stuck down the chimney.
I get what it is.
And the chimney is my head.
Yeah.
And check out the sweater. Many of our listeners and viewers, I'm sure, won't be old enough to get this, but this is the classic Three Wolf Moon.
Really?
In Christmas sweater form.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yes.
I have no idea what that is.
And I'm telling you, this is just...
You
never heard of Three Wolf Moon?
Oh, what's that?
Kevin, please tell me you know what Three Wolf Moon is.
Of course I know what Three Wolf Moon is.
It's a popular meme from back in the day. But only us internet veterans of a certain age would remember it. Give it a Google afterwards and you'll...
No, I'm on it now.
Oh, you're going to pull it up right now?
Yeah. It's a shirt.
It was a popular shirt that they sold at like Walmart or something.
Oh, you know what? I think I've seen this.
Popular. And it became really popular in a kind of an ironic way. And then you can see there were all kinds of like different meme variants of it. There's like three otters, I guess.
Yeah, I vaguely remember this.
When I used to do the old Tested podcast, we actually did a version of it. Was like the three podcast hosts. Heads all staring kind of plaintively
I'm
up
sure
at them.
I'm sure if we talk about it enough, they'll make one.
You think we could bring it back? I would love to see a kind of funny Three Wolf Moon.
Me too.
Tim,
let's
Nick
work
Greg.
On it.
Talented
dude,
best
that'd be
friends
awesome.
Out there, please make it for us.
Someone, so
tag
like,
me and Gary.
I guarantee someone out there, that'll be done by the end of the show.
Oh, absolutely.
I like this combination here because like if you've played Portal, right, and like it looks like Santa's going into one portal and then coming out the other portal. Like you're a portal,
right.
I'm a portal.
Right.
Boom.
Sure.
Yeah.
Hot.
Yeah.
The references just keep on going.
Dude.
But like I'm telling you, this is keep on tuning in. It's only gonna get better.
My Christmas sweater.
It's only gonna get more festive around here, Kevin.
My Christmas sweater is just a good looking sweater that I would wear, you know, not just on air.
What's your favorite thing about Christmas, Kevin?
Spending time with my family.
What's the real answer?
Bogus.
No, it really is though. Cause what I do is now I don't I've talked about my
he knows he's laughing because he knows he's full of shit.
I'm laughing because my next statement is gonna be an interesting one. I've talked a lot of shit about my mom. A lot of shit.
You talk shit about your mom?
Oh my, she's a mean woman. Jesus. But here and like this is for the first time, I think I'm really gonna back it up. She cancels Christmas like every other year.
Why?
And to infuriate me. Like, she knows I love Christmas, and it's one of the things that she can hold over me. So she's constantly like, I know we have plans, but we're not doing it. 2 years ago, she was like, we're going to Disney.
Kind of like you pulling, calling off cats. Seems like it runs in the family, Kevin.
There it is.
Can I tell you, I did get the worst Christmas gift I've ever gotten in my life from my mother, which was, I want to say like 5 years ago. She gave me a gift card to Dairy Queen, like a $25 gift card to Dairy Queen as a Christmas gift. And I am lactose intolerant. And so like,
oh wow.
Yeah.
So was she trolling you?
I don't know because like, and here's the thing, right? There's
you can get like burgers and shit
yeah,
at Dairy
burgers
Queen as well though.
At Dairy Queen, right?
Yeah.
And like a few weeks later I went to Dairy Queen because I was like, well, I have the gift card. I might as well use it. I went to use it. There was only $7 on that gift card.
Oh,
by far. And I don't know what was going on that year. I think she was just like running low on time and was like, oh, I got this in my purse. I'll just use this. But yeah, that was an interesting Christmas because like I legit looked at my sisters. And I was like, yo, we got to do something about this.
So basically she gave you a gift card that she already had that just happened. That there was like that, $7 was just what was left on it.
And I think it was a thing where she didn't even realize that like she used it. I assume. I never like confronted her about it. I was just like, because you can't really hate on a gift, right? Because like it's people are being generous. They're giving something to you. So I can't like be like, how dare you give me this thing? But at the same time, like, how dare you give me this thing?
I have this thing going on with my brother-in-law where each year he started, I think he sent me one year the Susan Boyle Christmas album. Do you remember Susan Boyle?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He sent me the Susan Boyle Christmas album. And the next year I sent it back to him. I re-gifted it back to him, and we just send it back and forth to one another.
Oh my god!
I know you guys have a show to do. Sorry, it's Greg here.
Greg on the hot mic.
I just wanted to say that since I get to be a viewer out there as we're planning a bunch of stuff, viewing this, I gotta say Gary looks like he likes Christmas more than Kevin.
I mean, to me, it's an open and shut case.
Why did you make me up the volume?
Also, I know he's insincere. I gave him the test, the shibboleth. What is your favorite thing about Christmas? And he said, spending time with my family. Which is nobody's favorite thing about Christmas.
And then he followed up that he hates his mom.
And he hates his mom.
You guys didn't let me finish. That is a weird justification. Dairy Queen.
It's like, yo, why do you love Christmas so much? Oh, I love spending. I love hanging out with my family. I hate my mother.
I wasn't done.
All right. Apologies, Kevin. Finish your story.
So...
I'm sure the story about how you hate your mother
is a video games podcast.
I'm sure there's a redemptive ending to it.
So what ended up happening is now I'm the one that cooks Christmas dinner every year.
Okay.
So I will get there like 12 hours. I like to get there really early. I'll get there because we're also Latin, so we stay up till midnight.
Right.
So I'll get there at noon and start slowly cooking the turkey, doing all the sides, and we just hang out together. We actually watch Harry Potter. I go in there, I put all 6 movies on, and I just have that playing.
That's like a Christmas tradition for you?
Harry Potter?
Done in the last like 3 years, yeah.
Really? Because I understand Sorcerer's Stone, because that's actually like a Christmas movie.
Yes, that's right. I mean, that's why
it's. But like, once you hit Prisoner of Azkaban, it's like, all right, why are we still watching Harry Potter
on
Christmas?
Well, at that point, they're just good movies, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, at that point, it's just a marathon.
Yeah, yeah. It's also weird. It's like in England, like James Bond, like because they like for some reason, like, after the Queen's speech in England, they always used to put on a James Bond movie. And like, you know, you'd get filled with turkey and then you'd fall asleep in front of the Thunderball or whatever bullshit James Octopussy. Bond movie was on. So that became kind of a weird, Octopussy, whatever. Became like a weird Christmas tradition.
Wow.
I've never quite got my handle on American Christmas dinner. So it's interesting to me when you said you cook turkey for Christmas dinner.
Mm-hmm.
Because I feel like in England, everyone cooks turkey for Christmas dinner. That makes perfect sense.
I think it's a lot.
But because so many people have turkey for Thanksgiving, which is pretty close to Christmas.
Mm-hmm. Not
everyone wants to do a big turkey dinner like all over again. So I feel like a lot of Americans don't have turkey for
Gary,
Christmas dinner.
I usually will do turkey and then some sort of meat dish.
Like a ham or something?
Like a pot roast.
Oh, okay, sure. Mm.
And then some chicken.
I didn't know Christmas dinner was a thing, honestly.
Like, really?
Yeah, my family never really did Christmas dinner.
Eve, yeah.
No?
No.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, did your family celebrate Christmas, though?
Yeah, we celebrate Christmas every year.
Okay.
But it's more so of, like, we wake up, we open our presents, we hang out. And sometimes, like, depending on the year, we'll hang out with our relatives, like, go visit our cousins.
Right.
And it's more of a fellowship and gathering thing, more so than a, like, let's cook a meal. Sometimes, like, depending on the year, right, we'll have, like, Nigerian food, because my family's Nigerian. But that's more so of like, you know, that's the thing we do when we gather together with relatives, right? We make meals, we make rice, we make whatever it is.
Yeah, I think it's different for everyone. Like my wife, her family is part Italian, and they traditionally had a big like Italian meal that that the grandmother would make. So everyone's got this different thing. I like turkey for Christmas dinner. It's just it feels weird to have a big.
See, I'm not a big
all the elements
guy.
Of Thanksgiving and Christmas dinner are kind of the same.
Greg Miller's messaging me. And says,
"Is he saying get on with it?"
There's a lot of news.
I'm gonna be honest.
There's not a lot of news
the
though.
Video games podcast. There's the. Yeah, listen.
And honestly, so check in with the chat right now. I'm gonna ask the chat right now, and Kevin, you can monitor this as it comes in. Isn't this what you really tune in for?
Yes.
This bullshit.
Especially on
you're not really
Wednesday.
Here for the news. You're here for the banter. You're here for the side dishes.
All right, Greg Miller, you heard me try.
He tried. Well, today's stories include an update on In the Valley of Gods, a new multiplayer Outlast, and more pertinent news that we need to talk about.
Greg's back again.
I'm not saying it's not good content. I'm just saying there's like four shows today.
I'm giving the people what they want. And frankly, the news today is anemic.
You can't.
There's no hot news.
The turkey, you idiot.
This is Kinda Funny Games Daily, each and every weekday at 10 a.m. Live right here on twitch.tv/kindafunnygames. If you're watching live, you can correct us when we get stuff wrong by going to kindafunny.com/you'rewrong. If you don't want to watch live, you can watch later on youtube.com/kindafunnygames or listen later on podcast services around the globe by searching for Kinda Funny Games Daily.
Before I forget, you wear this very well, by the way.
Oh, thank you. I mean, I feel like I'm like...
You're swimming in it a little bit?
I'm swimming in it, yeah.
But it looks good.
Thank you. I appreciate it. To be a part of the show, head to patreon.com/kindafunnygames, where bronze members or above get to write in, and silver members or above get the show ad-free. Thank you to our Patreon producers, Blackjack and Muhammad Muhammad. Today, we're brought to you by Hims, Tipsy Elves, and Manscaped. That's three sponsors. But I'll tell you more about that later. For now, let's begin with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. It's time for some news. We have six stories today.
Baker's Dozen, I love Christmas more than Gary!
Lies.
Number one, In the Valley of the Gods is on hold thanks to Valve. This comes from Michael McWherter at Polygon. The article reads, in 2017, Firewatch developer Campo Santo unveiled In the Valley of the Gods, a promising-looking first-person adventure set in Egypt. The following year, Valve, the maker of Counter-Strike, Steam, and Dota 2, snapped up Campo Santo. Some Firewatch fans worried that Campo Santo had been swallowed by a company notorious for not shipping games. Just last month, Firewatch fans freaked out a little bit more when multiple Campo Santo developers who had joined Valve removed any and all mention of In the Valley of Gods from their Twitter bios. It was a worrying sign. Did you see this happen?
I did.
Yeah, I saw that too, and I was like, interesting. But then Valve announced Half-Life Alyx, a VR-only prequel to Half-Life 2. Several Campo Santo developers were confirmed to be working on the project. Still, the fate of In the Valley of the Gods was uncertain, but no longer. Campo Santo co-founder Jake Rodkin confirms In the Valley of Gods development is on hold, but not outright canceled. In a statement to Polygon, Rodkin says that former Campo Santo developers are busy working on not just Half-Life Alyx, but Dota Underlords, Steam, and other Valve projects as well. Here's his full statement. Quote, to fans looking forward to In the Valley of Gods, it's probably clear that the optimistic 2019 at the end of the announcement trailer isn't going to be accurate. In the end, Valve time makes fools of us all. But yes, developers from the former Campo Santo team have joined other projects at Valve, including Half-Life Alyx. As you can imagine, our experience in the first-person adventure genre is pretty relevant. You hear a lot about how at Valve you can work on what you want. It turns out that's true. And there's a lot of work available. As we integrated ourselves into Valve, it became clear that there was a lot of valuable work to be done on Half-Life Alyx. Some of us started lending a hand, I think that should read, and have since become full-time on the project as it approaches launch. Similarly, some ex-campos are working on Dota Underlords, some are on Steam, and so on. So to answer your question, as of today, In the Valley of Gods development is on hold, but it certainly feels like a project people can and may return to. And when that happens, we'll find an exciting way to let fans know. Half-Life Alyx is scheduled to be released on Steam March 2020, and In the Valley of Gods release date on Steam is now listed as TBD. Gary, you were looking forward to In the Valley of Gods.
I was, and this saddens me a little bit because, you know, Sean Vanneman and Jake Rodkin are good friends of mine, and I've worked with them before. For people that might not know the history, Sean and Jake were pretty much the project leads at Telltale for The Walking Dead Season 1, the season I worked on. And, you know, The Walking Dead, that first season was tremendously successful. It kind of swept all the Game of the Year awards.
Yeah.
And obviously it was a huge team effort, but Sean and Jake were pretty much, they were the leaders of that team. And if I had to point to like one or two people, that's like, who would you say, like, you know, is most responsible for The Walking Dead being so great, the Telltale game, I would point to Sean and Jake.
Really?
Immensely talented, super, super nice guys. I learned a hell of a lot from working with them. They became good friends of mine from working on that project. I've kept in touch with them ever since. I was thrilled when they started Campo Santo, and Firewatch was a huge hit. It's funny, I bumped into Sean not long ago at LAX, just a completely random encounter, and we sat at the bar, and he told me a little bit about what he was doing within the Valley of Gods, and it sounded really exciting. I couldn't wait to play it. Mm. And then they went to Valve, and I was excited about that too, because if you're a game developer, who wouldn't want to work at Valve, right? Oh, yeah. It's one of the true, like, it's one of the top places. And I'm excited for them again in a way, because they get to work on Half-Life and all this other cool stuff, and they will make these games better because they're super, super talented. Sean and Jake and Ollie Moss and all those guys being at Valve is good for them. It's good for Valve. Everyone's going to be a winner, but, you know, there are casualties of war. And in the Valley of Gods, which I was really excited to see, has, as you say, been shelved. I do believe Jake when he says, I don't think it has been canceled. I just think, like, for right now, they're more needed or more interested in working on other projects. And so this has been put onto the back burner. My guess is that they will return to this and finish it at some point, but probably not for a while. So it's a bummer, but not like it's not the worst thing in the world.
How do you feel? Do you feel like this in the Valley of Gods will come out first or Half-Life 3? Because I have a theory that, like, you know, being at Valve, right, you have that opportunity to work on this game that people have been looking forward to for, like, however many years, right? Like, over 10 years, you know, since Half-Life 2. I imagine that, like, that option is probably there for them. You know what I mean? They've gotten to work on Half-Life Alyx, which is probably already a dream, you know?
Yeah.
And, like, the decision might be there in front of them to, like, okay, do we want to continue work on In the Valley of Gods for the next few years, or get the opportunity to work on something like Half-Life 3, or, you know, maybe even, fingers crossed, like Portal 3 or something along those lines.
I want a new orange box.
That would be amazing.
Team Fortress 3.
Oh my God.
Portal 3.
Half-Life 3,
or at least Half-Life Episode 3,
mm-hmm.
which, you know, we're still waiting for. They ended, don't forget, they ended Episode 2 on a cliffhanger.
Mm.
And we're still not getting the next thing. So I don't look, Half-Life 3 or in the, you might as well say Half-Life 3 or the heat death of the universe. Who the fuck knows? I don't know if there is a Half-Life 3 or how far along it is. It may well be that the success of Half-Life Alyx will determine how much more they then lean into continuing the Half-Life universe. I would love to see that.
I'm definitely a person that, you know, if you asked me a few weeks ago, I would have said that, like, oh yeah, like Half-Life 3 doesn't exist. Like, that game's never going to come out, at least, like, anytime remotely soon. But since the announcement of Half-Life Alyx, that was sort of the thing that sparks that hope in me. Like, I'm not, like, a big Half-Life person. Like, I'm not super looking forward to the next Half-Life game. But I do, I find interest in it as a game that is almost like a legend, right? It's what,
Almost. It's a legend.
It is a legend, right? Like, games like Final Fantasy 13 Versus or The Last Guardian, right? Which, like, both those games eventually came out in some form,
right?
Like, those didn't even hold a candle to, like, what Half-Life 3
is. Well,
the
interesting thing about it is we've been waiting so long for Half-Life 3 that a whole generation of gamers has grown up not living in a Half-Life world. So when something like Half-Life Alyx gets announced, or even if Half-Life 3 was announced, you would see this really weirdly bifurcated reaction where, like, all the oldies who grew up on Half-Life and remember Half-Life 1 and 2 and episodes 1 and 2 would be going, oh my god, it's back, it's Half-Life, and then you've got this all the younger kids going,
like, what's
what
Half-Life?
The fuck is Half-Life?
Yeah, but and that's the thing about Half-Life Alyx that I find interesting, because I think it is, like, a good way to jog people's memories, try and get the Half-Life name out there again in a way that isn't just like, oh, surprise, Half-Life 3.
Well, yes, I think it's going to be fantastic, but by putting it only on VR, they're limiting the impact that it can have.
For sure, for sure. And my thing is, I wouldn't put it past Valve to be like, okay, yeah, Half-Life Alyx, a VR title, Half-Life, you know, Episode 3, or maybe like Half-Life, some other kind of spin-off name.
Yeah.
You know, we're putting this out as like a warm-up, as like something to quench your thirst for Half-Life 3, and then finally we're going to put out Half-Life 3. Because I feel like putting out Half-Life Alyx like this, like, it's so random, and for me it has to lead to something, especially for something that's asked for.
Yeah, that was going to be my point as well. I think just the fact that they are making a new Half-Life game at least sends the signal that Valve still gives a shit about Half-Life.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's been such a long time. They've not said anything about Half-Life for years and years and years now that, you know, it's impossible that Gabe and everyone else, they've just moved on. They're just not interested in Half-Life anymore. But that's not the case, because here they are with a new Half-Life game, which gives us hope that it's going to continue and there will be more down the road.
Mm. Our second story today, sources say Microsoft is still planning a cheaper, diskless, next-gen Xbox. This comes from Jason Schreier at Kotaku. It reads, in June, Microsoft announced Project Scarlet, a new iteration of the Xbox that the company said would, quote, set a new bar for console power, speed, and performance, end quote. What Microsoft didn't say is that it is also working on a lower-cost, diskless version of Scarlet, codenamed Lockhart, according to four people briefed on the company's plans. If those names sound familiar, that's because they've been floating around for a while. The earliest rumors about Microsoft's next-gen roadmap, circa 2018, suggested that Project Scarlet would consist of two Xbox models, the high-performance Anaconda and the lower-end Lockhart. In June, however, Microsoft announced that Scarlet was a single high-end console, which led to speculation and then press reports that Lockhart had been canceled. But Kotaku has learned that Lockhart is in fact still in the works as a cheaper, digital-only alternative to Scarlet, as the original rumors suggested. What we don't know, and what likely isn't finalized yet, is how pricing will shake out. But it's easiest to think of Anaconda as a successor to the Xbox One X and Lockhart as a successor to the Xbox One S, with a similar performance disparity. Game developers will be expected to support both Anaconda and Lockhart, which some are worried might hamper their ambitions for their next-gen games in coming years. When speaking to Kotaku, one game developer briefed on Lockhart analogized it to the PlayStation 4 Pro in terms of raw graphical power, although there are other key differences that might make up for that. Lockhart is said to have a solid-state drive, like both Anaconda and Sony's upcoming PlayStation 5, which is expected to have a significant impact on loading times. Developers briefed on Lockhart also say it has a faster CPU than any current video game console, which could allow for higher frame rates, although there are other factors that might not become clear until the console is completely finalized, such as clock speeding and cooling. Gary, does a diskless next-gen Xbox sound appealing to you?
Well, the diskless part, as it turns out, is only one factor here. Mm-hmm. It sounds like, as we were reading this, kind of the story became clearer. Mm-hmm. At first, I thought that it was going to be, the difference was going to be just between like the Xbox One and like the SAD edition, the SAD,
yes,
which has no disk drive, and it would just be the lack of a disk drive, but otherwise they would be functionally the same. It sounds like, as you just explained, that it's more like the X versus the S, that there's actually multiple reasons why why Scarlet would be a better offering than Lockhart, like faster processors and all kinds of other stuff. I don't know what you think. I mean, so it's interesting that they're launching that they would theoretically launch these both together, as opposed to what we saw last generation with the X and the Pro, that there was the base edition and then the fancier ones kind of came midway through the generation. To launch, if this in fact is the plan, to launch two tiers, like here's the premium edition, which is more expensive, more powerful, and here's the lower entry level edition, which will do the job. It's not as good, but it's cheaper. I don't know. I'm not a business expert, but it sounds like a smart move to give people a cheaper option if they want it.
Yeah, especially I think for me, the thing that it comes down to is what Xbox is building as a brand and as an idea that Xbox isn't just a console. It is a brand, and it is Xbox Game Pass and Xbox Gold and all this stuff, right? Like, with the idea of Xbox Game Pass especially being, it is a digital thing, and the offerings there are so, like, vast right now, and it's growing, right? There are tons of great games on Game Pass, and the idea that I can buy, like, say the Xbox Scarlet launches at $500, like the Xbox One did. What if they could launch the Xbox One Lockhart at $300, and maybe that cuts below what the PS5 is, right? That gives people an entry point that is, one, lower than the PS5, like, in terms of price, but then also, if you get Xbox Game Pass on top of that, you then have a vast library that you might not get with the PS5.
I think that's right, and I think that Microsoft probably recognized that one of the reasons why they have lagged so far behind, you know, there's a reason why Sony brags about its numbers and Microsoft just don't talk about their numbers, because there's probably a pretty... If we actually knew what the Microsoft numbers were in terms of installed base and stuff like that, you'd probably be like, fucking hell. Like, they're way behind.
Yeah.
Like, they're still in business, but I feel like it's a big gap.
It's definitely, yeah.
And so, and I think one of the reasons for... Given that there's not a big difference between the two consoles, you know, they mostly have the same games. They're roughly about the same in terms of power. So I've said on this show many times before, there's not a lot of daylight between those two consoles in terms of experience. It comes down to a handful of first-party games and services and what your brand preference is. It's all bullshit. It's like, what's it between Pepsi and Coca-Cola? It's the fucking same product. It's all about the branding.
Yeah.
Yes, Kevin?
I just want to say, I don't think there's much of a difference. There wouldn't be much of a difference in cost if it, like, if they... between those two systems. Like, I don't think it would be a $200 difference.
Yeah. $200 is definitely, like, me being, like, theoretical. But I'm sure, like, there will be, like, a cost difference, right?
They fucked up. Yeah.
I can see it being, like, either $50 to $100. Difference in price.
I think it has to be at least like $100.
They fucked themselves at the start of the generation Xbox. They had that whole false start launch, which Kinect, they bundled in Kinect, which was a boondoggle that nobody wanted and made the console way more expensive than it needed to be. And then they had to basically reboot the whole, they had to do basically launch 2.0 of Xbox and airbrush the Kinect out of history. Kinect, what's that? Never heard of it because it was so bad. Mm-hmm. And that's fucked them for the whole generation. And even at this, time, at the end of this generation, there's still a $100 price differential between Xbox and PlayStation. And I think Microsoft recognizes that price is a compelling factor, perhaps the most compelling factor for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. Again, you look at the two machines, well, what's the difference? I can play Call of Duty on both. I can play Destiny on both. I can play Jedi Fallen Order on both. They're roughly, you know, there's not a lot of daylight in terms of the power. Fuck it, let's get the one that's $100 cheaper.
Yeah.
And I think that they recognize that at the high end, they might not be able to compete with PlayStation. If they want to say, we're the most powerful console, we're going to be more... Because my guess is that Scarlett, when Digital Foundry get a hold of it and everything, they're going to say, yeah, Scarlett's more powerful than PS5 when they do the full teardown and all the tests. But that will probably come at a price premium. My guess is Scarlett will be more expensive than the top-end PlayStation 5. But my guess is they're building the Lockhart and releasing the Lockhart to compete on price. So that 100 price differential, which I think has hamstrung them the whole generation, will go away.
And that's my thing, too, is that like even if it was... the PS5 and Xbox Scarlett both launch at $500. Even having, you know, the Xbox Lockhart coming out at $400, you know, that's still a big enough difference to make people go like, okay, yeah, I could save $100 by going this and like investing in digital.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's very enticing.
And with the price drops to Xbox One S and the SAD edition, I believe they're at a point now where they actually are comparable to the base PlayStation 4. But it's too late. This generation's over. They need to start the next generation competitive on price. And I think that's what Lockhart is designed to do.
Awesome. Yeah, for sure. Number three, there's a new multiplayer Outlast coming. This comes from a press release. The Red Barrels team is proud to announce its next installment in the popular survival horror franchise Outlast, named The Outlast Trials. The world of Outlast is a true survival horror experience, which aims to show that that the most terrifying monsters of all come from the human mind. And Red Barrels, whilst not a whilst not a direct sequel to the other critically acclaimed Outlast titles in the series, The Outlast Trials will be set in the same thrilling universe, more precisely right in the middle of the Cold War era. The Outlast Trials will allow players to face the horrors of the trials by themselves or cooperate with up to three other test subjects. After all, it's always better to shit your pants with some friends.
Wouldn't you agree, Kevin?
No, horror sucks.
Really? You don't like to shit your pants with friends?
No.
No?
No.
No? All right. No. Quote, we are proud to reveal the title...
It's great for hosing you down afterwards, though.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah. We are proud to reveal that the title and the first image of the game to our great community and fans, said David Chateauneuf.
Chateauneuf?
Chateauneuf.
Sounds like a fine wine.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I would drink that. Red Barrels co-founder... quote, our team is hard at work creating a new experience that will bring fear and anxiety to millions of players, whether they go through the experiments alone or with friends. The Outlast Trials is still in the early stages of production, and more news will be announced soon. Red Barrels has been working on developing the title for months and is now ramping up the production process. Quote, now we've done our proof of concept. It is time to focus on content creation, variety, and gore, adds Chateauneuf. Are you an Outlast person?
No, I'm with Kevin. Fuck horror games.
Yeah, wow, really?
Yeah! Woo!
This type of horror game is definitely not for me. I'm
They're too scary.
No, I don't like...
Fatal Frame 2, that was the last one for me. When that game started fucking with me even in the pause mode, I was like, I'm done. I'm out of this genre for good.
That's so funny. That's like the game that I credit to like me being like, fuck game. Fuck
yeah, it's the same one for me.
Yeah.
Fatal Frame 2. Fuck horror games. God, I remember, fuck VR horror.
I used to hold the box. I think I even played it, and I was just like,
Did I ever tell you when I went to the first PlayStation VR demo at like Comic-Con years ago at San Diego Comic-Con? It was like they had like an offsite thing there, but it was like a demo booth. It was like me. It was like me and Major Nelson were back there getting a demo of it.
Uh-huh.
And we tried a bunch of stuff. We played some four-player fun stuff together. It was fun. And then they said, "Oh, we've got one other thing we want to try. We'd like to show you. It's called The Kitchen."
Mm.
And I said, "What is it?"
Man.
And they said, "Well, are you familiar with Japanese horror?" And I said, "Fuck that!" And I just fucking left.
Yeah.
Like, no way.
Yeah.
It ain't happening.
I remember doing The Kitchen demo. I didn't even play it in VR. Right? I played it on my TV, and I remember finishing it and being like, that was horrible. Like, that was terrifying. I did not like that at
all. I played PT, and that was another one that was this.
PT is like it's incredible, but it is terrifying.
Do you enjoy these games?
Enjoy is a weird word. I'm definitely like not a horror game person, but I do enjoy like, I guess, lighter horror games. And so Until Dawn is probably like an easy, like, you know, that's not like,
because it's kind of slasher. It's not like existentially terrifying.
And like, you know, Resident Evil 2 Remake is a game that I loved this year. And, you know, that had a lot of scary bits in it. This type of game, like Outlast.
The ones that go all out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not necessarily for me. But I appreciate the idea and I appreciate the concept.
Yeah. And there is a market. There are people that love this stuff.
Oh,
like, you know, like Patrick Klepek loves these fun. Can't get enough. Loves to be terrified.
And it makes for great
content.
And
there are many people like that.
Like, I would watch a Twitch stream or, like, a Let's Play series.
I like watching people getting creeped. I like watching Twitch streams where people are getting, like, freaked out by horror games. Watching them react and stuff.
Oh, yeah. That stuff is, I absolutely love that aspect of horror games. Playing them, not necessarily for me, but I'll definitely watch reactions and all that stuff. Number four, Bluepoint's next game is great, according to Bluepoint. This comes from Sal Romano at Gamatsu. Bluepoint Games April teased Bluepoint Games April teased PlayStation 5 game, quote, will become the next achievement we're most proud of, end quote. Company president Marco Thrush told Segment Next in a recent interview. Quote, we originally remastered Shadow of Colossus for the PS3 and then remade it for the PS4, Thrush said. It's the only game we've touched twice, and to date, it is our greatest achievement. So it's easy to say that that is our personal favorite. However, there's no question in our minds that our current project will become the next achievement we're most proud of. Thrush added that Bluepoint Games has been invested in ways that make remastering or remaking games more powerful and efficient. Fortunately, the Bluepoint engine and toolset has been in development for many years. We have significantly invested in ways that allow our process of remastering or remaking games to be powerful and efficient. It is flexible and able to take advantage of any hardware. Thrush did not share any additional information, only that it will share more when Sony Interactive Entertainment is ready to make an official announcement. I'm really excited about whatever Bluepoint is working on. I really dug Shadow of Colossus, their remake on PS4. I thought that game was beautiful. Like, I'm already like a huge Shadow of Colossus fan, and so playing that remake, I was like, this is mind-blowing. Like, they kept that sense of scale that Shadow of Colossus kind of conveyed so well in the original PS2 release. And so whatever they're working on next, you know, I'm down for it, unless it's a horror game.
Yeah, I mean, there's not a lot to get your teeth there's not a lot to get your teeth into here. The headline kind of, you know, set that out. It's like, basically, developer says, hey, we're really good at doing these remasters, and our next one is going to be great. So I guess that prompts the question, if there was a PlayStation game, that what would you want this to be? Like, what PlayStation game would you like to see them remaster from, like, the PS2 or PS3 genre generation? That presumably is a Sony first party title, I'm guessing.
I mean, that's a tough one. And, like, man, I have no idea where I would go, because my mind immediately went to Ratchet & Clank, but we've pretty much gotten that with Ratchet & Clank 2015 or 16, whatever it was. And that was a great game.
Soul Reaver?
Soul Reaver?
Soul Reaver?
The old Crystal Dynamics game?
Yeah, he pulls it open and you know what I'm talking about? Pulls the souls in.
I've heard of Soul Reaver. I don't know anything about it.
Kane?
Yeah, Legacy of Kane.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, those are the games that Amy Hennig used to. That's why how she got started before she went on to the Uncharted games. I'm trying to think what it would be. Like, I never felt that Sony has great first party titles. Mm-hmm. So, like, what? You know, there's a handful of them, but, like, what would you want it to be? Like, I don't care about Ratchet and Clank.
The games that come to mind are, like, the original Metal Gear Solid, but I don't think...
Care about Ratchet and Clank?
Oh, Ratchet and Clank is incredible.
No. I played the new one. I didn't do anything for me. Huh. I mean, they're good. I understand there are people out there that would like it. It's just not my cup of tea.
Metal Gear Solid would be one that I would want, but I don't think. I think getting that license from Konami would be.
No, that's not going to happen.
It doesn't lend itself well to, like, especially the first Solid game.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't lend itself well to getting remade because they did that for
the GameCube. GameCube. Yeah.
And it made the Vulcan level a lot easier, right?
Yeah. But I think you can almost do the Resident Evil 2 remake thing.
Yeah, that would be incredible.
Yeah,
be
like, just, like, so change up the gameplay a bit. Or not change it up, but, like,
no, but yeah, like,
bring it up to standards, right?
Well, but Resident Evil 2 was a complete reimagining of that game. Where Shadow Colossus was just very good, but, like, a remaster. Yeah. It was the same game, just better.
And it had the same
better.
Problems, right? Like, the controls were similar to the original Shadow of the Colossus.
Yeah.
Where it's like, I wish that more companies went the route of Resident Evil, where they, like, redid the controls and, modernized it.
I would love a Metal Gear Solid that is, like, original Metal Gear Solid that is, like, you know, let's put this in the Metal Gear Solid 5 engine and make that type of game, but keep the story of the original and the moments of the original.
Yeah.
Demon's Souls is another one that people have been speculating, because that, I believe Sony does own Demon's Souls, and so, you know, that could be an option. I know there's, you know, a big fan base around that game.
People love those Souls games.
People love them Souls games.
Who owns Tenchu?
Who? What?
Tenchu.
Tenchu?
That's a good question.
I don't remember that one.
I'm going to look that
there
up.
There's a game that I want remade and, like, remastered so with, like, real, like, no, like, modern controls. The game
I think From Software might own it. I don't know about own, but they developed Tenchu.
Was Shadow of the Colossus actually? I know it was obviously a PlayStation exclusive, but was it a first party game?
Yes.
Okay.
Shadow of Colossus, it was.
Greg Miller question. I don't know.
But
he seems to know.
There's not that much. Again, I've never, to be honest with you, I've never been excited by.
I think Castlevania
PlayStation
is another
exclusives.
One people have been throwing out there, which I don't know. I don't know why you would remake Symphony of the Night, because it seems like that's the type of game that kind of holds up well.
Right.
And so, who knows?
I don't know. I'm interested to see what it's going to be.
Number 5, PlayStation is no longer interested in making handheld consoles. This comes from Chris Priestman at IGN.
Boo.
Well, they were never very good at it.
No, bullshit.
Whoa.
You're telling me that PlayStation Portable isn't one of the best handhelds ever made?
I owned one, and it's not.
Okay, well, you didn't understand how to homebrew.
You liked those UMDs, did you, Kevin?
No, I never used the UMDs because they made it so easy to hack. That it was.
So you've got to hack it to get anything out of it? That's not good.
That's not what I said. That's your words, not mine. First of all, you could download games onto it, and that was fine to do, right?
Yeah, but I mean, but at the time that the PlayStation
I had a
Portable was a thing,
1 gigabyte,
there wasn't much of that going on.
I had a 1 gigabyte Pro Duo, and yes, I hacked it, and it had universal remote functionalities. It had every SNES or any
SNES
on there.
You're going to jail, Kevin.
What?
You're going to jail. You're talking about your PSP?
I mean, if you're saying it only becomes a good console once you start hacking it and putting homebrew on it.
I didn't say that. I'm saying
make the argument for the PlayStation Portable without homebrew or any of that shit. Out of the box.
It worked.
It
worked, and it was my first device that, like, I used to, like, watch shit on. This is before phones were big giant screens, you know?
I'm surprised Miller hasn't
barged in here. Here's what I know. What I know is that Persona 4 Golden is on the PS Vita, which makes that a good console.
What's on the PlayStation Vita?
Persona 4 Golden.
Oh, yeah. That's good. That's good.
Yeah, one of the greatest games ever made.
Yeah.
President and CEO of Sony Interactive Entertainment, Jim Ryan, recently spoke to Game Informer for a feature that looks back on the 25-year history of PlayStation consoles. As part of this, he remembered the PlayStation Vita and confirmed that there were no plans for any more PlayStation consoles like it in the future. Quote, PlayStation Vita was brilliant in many ways, and the actual gaming experience was great, but clearly it's a business that we're no longer in now, end quote. And that comes
from Ryan. Has Sony ever officially kind of put the nail in the coffin of the Vita? Because that kind of that sounds like the first definitive statement from, like, a high-ranking Sony exec talking about the Vita in the past tense and saying we're no longer in that business. That is basically saying the Vita is dead, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we all knew that.
The Vita's been dead for years, right? I think the final nail in the coffin was them just, like, not bringing it up during E3s anymore and them not releasing games on it anymore.
Right.
And this is, like, I feel like we're so far past it being dead that they're like, allowed to acknowledge it and allowed to say that, like, oh, yeah, we're not doing
but
this
But there's
anymore.
Never, like, it's funny, there was never, like, an official, like, time of death, right? Like, they never put out a press release saying the Vita is done.
Especially because the Vita was the Vita as a console, like, it stopped getting first party support, but then kept getting like indie support and like weird Japanese. Like,
I wonder if you're wrong would know this, but I'm curious to know, like, at what point did Sony just stop manufacturing them? Because that feels to me like the end point.
Oh man, I feel like there was a story about this a year or so ago.
The Vita was a good console. You're great. Like,
the Vita was also great because it's a great
that
indie
many
machine.
Great games. But
well, and I wouldn't you say that's like, how can you say it was a great console but it didn't have that
finish,
many great
let
games?
Let me finish my statements.
Sorry, Kevin. Go ahead.
But with PSN, like, you had access to a lot of games, so it mm-hmm. did have a lot of like okay games on there, and it worked so well, so well.
Yeah, it didn't have a crazy amount of like great first party mm-hmm. games, but that handheld was kept alive by indies for sure. Like, kept alive Absolutely. By like,
I know it had its fans for
yeah.
sure.
Yeah, yeah, dude, you ever played Severed?
No, I had great. Fond memories of Lumines on the mm-hmm. on the PSP.
I played, there's a game called VVV that I really enjoyed on the Vita. It's like, well, on the Vita. It's like a platformer, like weird, like minimalistic kind of deal.
Right.
Really fun game.
What would be considered the best games on the Vita? Like the all-time top five?
Persona 4
Persona
Golden.
4.
Yes.
What else, though?
Was there a Metal Gear?
I mean, there was Peace Walker, but that was on the PSP.
Yeah, you're right. That's
all right, so again,
for
exhibit,
me, I'll put Severed
exhibit
up there.
A. After one game, we're struggling to name great games for the Vita. I feel like that's not good.
That's the thing, you know?
Yeah,
a
it is
of
the
mediocre
thing.
Mediocre games.
What?
There's a lot of them.
I had a lot of mediocre games on it.
But there was a lot of them.
Frank Furter writes in and says, "Good morning, Blessing and Gary. RIP to the PlayStation handheld gaming. With Jim Ryan's comments saying that PlayStation is no longer in the handheld market now, this gives Nintendo an almost sole monopoly of handheld gaming until Google Stadia gets good and until Xbox's xCloud launches. This is also to say that say you don't count traditional mobile games, but that's a different can of worms. With Sony not working on another handheld console, which market do you think they will try to enter first, if at all? Mobile games with their IPs, or will they have their own version of cloud-based gaming that will be on the go? Interested to hear your thoughts on the subject. Thanks for all you guys do. Frank Furter."
See, I would take, because I'm continuing to read the story here, and I'm looking at this quote from Jack Tratton back mm-hmm. in the day saying, "This is a great machine. It's just too late. The world has shifted to portable devices that aren't dedicated gaming machines."
Yeah, talking to Vita.
Now, that's true. The phones changed a lot of things about, you know, why would I want to carry around a dedicated gaming device when I can play great games on my phone? And that's a valid argument. But surely the Switch, and particularly the Switch Lite and the immense success that those consoles have enjoyed, mm-hmm. demonstrates that there is still a market out there for dedicated gaming handhelds. Maybe it's just that Nintendo, it's like the market's there. It's not that you can't make a good gaming handheld anymore. It's just hard to make a good one.
Yeah.
Nintendo's nailed it, but Sony failed, and Microsoft's never tried. So I don't buy the argument that there's just no market out there for a dedicated gaming handheld. The Switch Lite utterly disproves that. Mm-hmm. You've just got to make it good.
But I feel like there's no market for them, like for Sony. Like, I feel like them competing against Nintendo for handheld just doesn't make sense. Like, and we've seen it with the Vita, right? We've seen it, like, we've seen that that handheld kind of fall beneath the 3DS and the Switch and mobile games. Like, there are so many other places to go to as far as dedicated games on the go that, you know, I don't think it's worth it for them. Like, especially when they have other places they can invest, you know, like PSVR, which seems to be doing like pretty fine, and like, you know, PS5 in the future, right? Like, I think they have other worries right now. And once we get into the PS5, like, who knows? Maybe the landscape might shift a bit, that it makes a little bit more sense to do a handheld. But
Nintendo must be loving this, because obviously Nintendo has dominated handheld gaming from all the way since the days of the Game Boy. DS, 3DS were all massive successes. Switch is now a massive success. Mm. But they always had at least Sony kind of nipping at their heels with the PSP and the Vita.
Yeah.
Now, there's nothing. Microsoft's obviously got no interest in getting into the handheld space. They've never shown any interest. Sony is now saying, yeah, we couldn't do it. We're done. Mm. Nintendo basically owns the handheld gaming space.
Yeah. Like, they're pretty much all alone there, and it's great for them because, like, you know, the Switch is an awesome console.
Yeah.
And it makes sense. Like, that console, you know, makes sense as far as, you know, it being a handheld, it being a home console, what it is, and, like, the ways in which they develop for it. That's the thing. That's another thing with PlayStation putting out a handheld, a solely handheld device. They would have to develop for it, and they would have to, like, you know, though, like those same resources as far as like software and as far as like putting, like seeking out actual games to be dedicated for this thing.
Yeah.
It's probably just like way too much worth, way too much work for what it's worth.
Yeah.
Especially like compared to Nintendo, who that is their sole thing. That is where all their efforts are going. They're able to focus on it and not necessarily be split between the two.
And it's hard. And it's be hard. Like now that the Switch is super established and the Switch Lite has been super successful, I would argue that it's harder to get into that market now than ever because you know, sitting around the table, okay, guys, are we going to make a new handheld console? Mm. The first question you ask yourself is, well, how can we possibly make something that people would prefer over the Switch when the Switch is already right there? Mm-hmm. And it has a massive library. Indies love it. It has all the Nintendo first-party games. It's cheap. It's like everyone just loves the Switch.
Yeah.
How do you possibly put something into the market to say, no, don't buy a Switch. You want to buy this instead. That feels like a really steep mountain to climb.
That sounds like an impossible task for sure, especially for PlayStation where they're at. And like, you know, they're pretty solid on the PlayStation 4, right? On like the console side. Like they have a good thing going. They know what they're doing, right? They're building up VR. They're doing, they're launching this new console. And things seem to be looking good for them as far as we know, as far as like their games output and all that stuff, right? To take a risk that would be another handheld, you know, compare like against the Nintendo Switch, just doesn't seem like
it'd just be throwing me down the drain.
Let's get to our sixth and last story. Metal Gear Solid movie director says a new draft of the script is done in its full Kojima quirk. This comes from Logan Moore over at DualShockers. It reads, "It's been a long time since we've heard any news about the forthcoming Metal Gear Solid movie, but it seems as though the project continues to chug right along in pre-production. As mentioned earlier, or as mentioned today on Twitter, and I think, I forget if this was written today or yesterday, the director of the Metal Gear Solid movie and cameo character in Death Stranding, Jordan Voight Roberts, did I pronounce that correctly?
Voight Roberts.
Jordan Voight Roberts had a brief update to share on the project. Voight Roberts said that a new draft of the film script was just finalized and turned in recently. Quote, it's full Kojima quirk and full military surrealism, end quote, he stated of the script. I won't say more. He also shared an image of the script in question with the tweet. Voight Roberts went on to say that he will be meeting with an actor for the film very soon. Assumedly, this would likely be the starring role of the movie, which will surely be that of Solid Snake. Gary, are you looking forward to a Metal Gear Solid movie that's full of Kojima quirk?
I like Jordan a lot. He's a friend of mine, and he's made some really good movies. Mm. I think that this is another tough one. I love the fact that they're doing something that seems very true to the, you know, the Kojima nuttiness of the the original games.
Yeah.
I just, you know, obviously it's tricky because, you know, it would be expensive. You know, I don't know how there's a cheap version of a Metal Gear Solid movie, right? It seems like it would have to be expensive. Is it, you know, there's not a great history out there of video game based movies connecting with audiences and making money. No. They have struggled historically. Every time someone announces a new movie video game, I root for it. Like I was just thinking this morning, like why are we not already hearing about like a movie based on Control? Like that would make a great movie.
Yeah.
Somebody should do that.
I feel like leave that genre alone. Like we don't need to make good games into movies. Like good games are so good.
But you might as well say we don't need to make good books into movies. You know, why not?
Well, no, because reading's boring. Playing video games is
Why
fun.
Is Nick shaking his head?
Because your outfit's dumb.
Oh, okay. All right. I forgot I'm wearing this.
You get what I'm saying? Reading's for nerds.
Playing reading's video for games nerds? Is
fun, yeah.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I agree there.
Yeah.
For sure.
That's a hard stance we have.
I'm looking forward to this movie mainly out of curiosity. I want to see what Jordan comes up with. Video game movies in general are something that I've given up hope on. Like I don't look forward to video game movies thinking that they're going to be like excellent works of art. Granted, like I don't think it's impossible, right? Like a Metal Gear Solid movie to me sounds pretty cool. Because like Metal Gear Solid is already kind of based off movies, right? There's inspiration there that can be taken, and like what does it look like when you make a movie out of something that was trying to essentially be a movie?
Yeah. I think that the problem is like I don't know this story can be put into one movie. And a lot of times
of the first one?
Huh?
Of the first Metal Gear Solid movie? Or Metal Gear Solid game?
I don't. You know what I mean? Like that's a lot going on, and I just don't think that you need to overlap mediums to make it bigger. You know what I mean?
I agree.
I think that like the video game, like they nailed it why are we trying to condense this story into a 2-hour-long movie when it's something much bigger? A series, maybe. You know, like HBO series or a Netflix series.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe. But still, like, you have to understand it really, really well and be able to translate it over.
Hmm. I mean, at least we have the masterpiece that's coming out February 14th, the Sonic movie. Sonic the Hedgehog.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, dude.
Valentine's Day.
It's going to be amazing.
I love that counter-programming.
The 2020 endgame. I have a story here from written in from the Solo One. They write in and says, they say, "Hi, Blessing and Gary. Happy holiday season. I'm writing in regarding a predicament I ran into with my girlfriend. A few weeks back, we both had a free night to relax and watch some shows before bed. It was Friday, and so we watched High School Musical, the musical, the series, which everyone should watch, by the way. It's awesome, on Disney Plus, along with the new episode of The Mandalorian. I didn't love the episode, but she really liked it. She said she wanted to watch more Star Wars and that she hadn't seen Rogue One yet and heard that it was excellent. Reluctant to watch even more Star Wars that night, I remembered that Nick and Tim's live call-in advice show, Love, Sex, and Stuff, was premiering on Twitch that night, and after about 10 minutes of back and forth, I convinced her that we should watch that instead. 30 minutes into Love, Sex, and Stuff, and chill, she wasn't feeling it, which sucked because I thought it was amazing. Nick was in rare form, and Tim was delivering solid relationship and life advice. After another 15 minutes, my girlfriend asked if we could switch to Rogue One. I tried to convince her to give it another 30 minutes, which somehow turned into an argument about how much I never listen. After the argument, she stormed off into the other room, and I continued to listen to Tim and Nick take calls from the audience. 10 minutes later, Nick answers a call, and it's a female voice. I couldn't believe it. It was a voice that I recognized. It was my girlfriend.
I'm loving this story.
Nick asked her for a question, and I couldn't believe what she said next. She opened her mouth and said, "Blessing and Gary, if I wanted to know where I could look to find out what's coming to Mom and Grop shops today, where would I go?"
Oh, so good.
I need a moment to process this. That was fantastic.
Thank you. Really, I wrote that myself. I spent a lot of time on that.
That was very good.
It shows. Thank
you.
Really good.
Thank it you. Was very good.
I appreciate
not the
it.
Crap Greg Miller slaps together.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm trying to, like, up the ante over here.
You nailed it.
But so that wasn't a real story?
No, that wasn't a real story.
Oh,
at all.
I was really hoping it was real. I mean, I love what you did.
Oh,
it was,
yeah.
It was a great way to get into the segue, but I was hoping that was going to be a real story. Yeah, I mean, I knew it was bogus when you started talking about Tim giving out really good relationship advice. I was like,
first of all,
yes.
That show that he was talking about,
yeah,
was an excellent show where they actually
were they actually taking live calls.
Oh yeah,
oh my god, yeah.
Oh, I got to check that out.
Really do. It's fantastic.
Okay,
great.
That being
show.
Said, can you read the thing that you're supposed to?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform, as listed by the Kind of Funny Games Daily Show hosts each and every weekday.
Yeah,
that's good.
Out today, we have Everreach, Project Eden for Xbox One and PC, Big Pharma for Xbox One.
I'm going to want to pull that one,
yeah,
Kevin.
That one sounds interesting. Seek Hearts for Xbox One. And then today, Ubisoft announced that Garnet, Amethyst, Pearl, and Stevani from Cartoon Network's Steven's Universe are warping into battle in Brawlhalla as epic crossovers. Players can now play as the 4 crystal gems to save the day in a special Steven Universe in-game event that kicks off today through December 18th. The in-game event features a new bubble tag game mode, a new KO effect featuring Malachite, bonus daily login gold, and main menu.
I don't give a fuck about any of that. Kevin, yeah. can you pull Big Pharma?
Jesus.
Here it is. Here we go. Oh, this might be it for me.
Whoa.
It's like theme park, theme farmer.
Start with an empty warehouse.
Okay. All right.
Oh, wow.
It says Xbox One, but this must be a PC game because I'm seeing mouse control.
Yeah.
Is this already on Steam or something? Already
on
PC?
It might be like a port.
All right, so start manufacturing the drugs. Okay.
Oh, wow.
Okay,
so
yeah.
So you really, like,
all right.
Get in there.
Get them onto market. Research high-tech machines. This looks like there's
is
a lot
like
to it.
Is this like a clicker type game? Or is this
no,
like,
this is no, this is like a proper tycoon kind of
okay.
game. Make life-saving cures and then keep them off the market so that you can keep selling
wow.
people the palliatives.
Wow.
Like the big evil pharma companies actually do.
Wow.
I hope you can do that.
But you probably can't.
Should be like Tropico or like Evil Genius. But you're a pharmaceutical. Like, then there's like things where you have to like buy or like pay off Congress, you know, like hire lobbyists and stuff like that.
I mean, if they went in depth that far, like, this doesn't look like a game I'll play.
Wait,
but
hold on.
I respect people who do.
Hold on. To succeed, you'll need to master both the engineering, Wait, what are you doing? Why are you going back?
I want to see what it said after this. Hold on, hold on.
Appetite suppressant? Happy belly cream.
Omega Finance, what is this?
Omega Finance.
Oh, that's just a...
Okay.
Something I want one day.
Cures irritable bowel syndrome.
Hmm.
All right, so you're manufacturing these drugs. Presumably there's like an element where you have to market them and stuff and like that.
Side effects may include...
Yeah, and your conscience. Man. There you go. Can you profit in an industry where illness is good for business?
Wow.
Well, obviously you can.
Wow.
I mean, we know that's true.
No. Can you?
No, I can.
I mean, we'll see.
I'm going to be completely amoral.
Yeah.
I've been looking for something new to play on the stream. Maybe this will be
it. That looks fun.
It looks interesting.
So does that all... Okay, so the release trailer was from... That's from 2015.
Yeah, so this is like
a this game's actually been around on PC for a while.
Yeah.
It's an Xbox One version that's new. Okay.
Yeah. You know how it is. Put it on Game Pass. I'll try it out.
Yeah.
New dates. We have Frog Detective 2, The Case of the Invisible Wizard. will launch for PC on via Steam on December 9th. Pillars of Eternity 2 Deadfire releases on January 28th, 2020 on PS4 and Xbox One. Xenoraptor will be available to download on Switch, 17/18 December on PS4. Oh, I see. In North America on the 17th of December. In Europe on the 18th of December. Followed by Xbox One on the 24th of December and Nintendo Switch on the 25th of December.
By the way, sorry to segue here, but to go back to the earlier story about the new Xbox and PlayStation generations, because you mentioned Game Pass. It was a point I wanted to bring up. I think if Microsoft are smart, and hopefully they're smart enough to realize this, when they launch those new machines, Scarlet, Lockhart, whatever, they should launch them with some free Game Pass right in the box. Right? I don't think they would do a whole year, but like at least 3 months or something. Because Game Pass is so good.
Yeah.
And I don't think Sony right now has anything as good as Game Pass. Mm-hmm. And like I've said before, like if people said to me, which console should I get, Xbox or PlayStation? It's like, it's hard to know because there's not much daylight between them. Game Pass to me is the daylight. Like that to me is the one compelling reason why I would get an Xbox over a PlayStation.
Because
you get so much stuff.
For sure.
It's the best deal in games right now.
For sure. There will be like a month.
At least a month.
Yeah,
and
I would do
three.
Yeah. Like, and you can tell right now they're trying to set up for it, right? Like they're giving out Game Pass like crazy right now.
Right.
Because they want people to like have it by the time the new console
At least 3 months of Game Pass Ultimate, and that is a very compelling proposition out of the box.
Oh, yeah. Today, Ubisoft announced that title update 6.1 for Tom Clancy's The Division 2 will be available for all players on December 10th. To ring in the holiday season, title update 6.1 will bring a themed in-game event, Situation Snowball.
Sorry. Are they doing a festive event?
I guess, yeah. Situation Snowball. Some of Washington, D.C.'s most elusive enemies are taking a special pride in celebrating. Wearing a bright red Santa hat, like the one I'm wearing right now, and taunting you about it. Taking these enemies down will drop a new exclusive weapon that shoots snowballs.
I like it.
That's awesome. Greg Miller's been crazy about that one.
Yeah, but how much damage do the snowballs do?
Oh, man.
You know what I mean? Like, if this doesn't hurt people...
They have rocks in the middle of them.
maybe you can piss on them.
So it's like an emotional hurt?
Yeah, it's like the South Park game on
your
this
enemies
before.
Just become depressed and they leave.
Now it is time for reader mail. You can write into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames where you can get the show ad-free. And speaking of ads, this episode of Kind of Funny Games Daily is brought to you by Hims. You've heard us talking about Hims and how they are helping guys look their best. If you haven't yet, it's time to see what they're all about. 66% of men start losing their hair by age 35. Once you've noticed thinning hair, it can be too late.
I fucking know that.
Be like Kind of Funny's Nick and Andy. They noticed their thinning hair, and they went to 4hims.com, a one-stop shop for hair loss, skincare, sexual wellness for men. Thanks to science, baldness can be optional. Hims is helping guys be the best version of themselves with licensed physicians and FDA-approved products to help treat their hair loss. These are prescription solutions backed by science. No more awkward in-person doctor's visits or long pharmacy lines. 4hims connects you to real doctors online, which could save you hours. Answer a few quick questions a doctor will review, and if they determine it's right for you, you can prescribe... Determine if it's right for you, can describe you medication to treat hair loss that is shipped directly to your door. Try Hims today by starting with a free online visit. Go to hims.com/gamesdaily.
For Hims.
Oh, yeah. Go to 4hims.com/gamesdaily. That's HIMS.com/gamesdaily, 4hims.com/gamesdaily. Prescription products are subject to doctor approval and require an online consultation with a physician who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. See website for full details and safety information. This could cost hundreds if you went in person to the doctor's office or pharmacy. Remember that 4hims.com/gamesdaily. Let's talk about tipsy elves. Woo! It's officially the holidays, and no party is complete without getting your ultra festive holiday clothing from tipsy elves, like the one I'm wearing
right now. This is from there, right?
Yeah, this is okay. From tipsy elves.
Mine is too.
Yours is too?
What, yeah. Your sweater that you're wearing?
Yeah.
Dude, that's a hot sweater.
I like it.
Yeah.
It's actually very comfortable too and warm.
Tipsy Elves is the one-stop shop for all your holiday clothing needs. They sell one-of-a-kind Christmas sweaters, dresses, family pajamas, and onesies that will transform your holiday party into an unforgivable experience. Just like Kevin's. Look at me and Kevin.
You look like you're posing for like a family photo.
It looks like the 25th right now in the studio. We have the green behind us too. It's perfect.
It always feels like the 25th in my heart.
This is like a bad Step Brothers remake.
You will be the life of the party. Reveal your hilarious holiday alter ego and score bragging rights for having the best Christmas sweater at the party. Talk about your Tipsy Elf sweater and other products you saw on the website. You've seen Greg wearing that dope Santa suit, and you see me wearing it right now. And you can be like him and me. Deck the halls with one of Tipsy Elf's outrageous Christmas sweater designs. They're one of a kind, seriously high quality, and crazy comfortable too, which I can confirm. This is super comfortable. Skip the small talk and bring the fun to the party, from drinking game sweaters to tacky tinsel and lights. Tinsel? What's a tinsel?
Tinsel is like the sparkly ribbon thread that you put around a Christmas tree.
Yeah. These sweaters are the ultimate icebreakers. A wide range of men's and women's sizes, so everyone gets their ideal comfortable fit. They also now carry plus sizes.
That's good for me.
Tipsy Elves doesn't just sell Christmas sweaters. They are truly the one-stop shop for all your festive holiday clothing needs. Say snow thank you to boring this year.
Wow. Wow.
Try one of the hilariously awesome designs from Tipsy Elves. Go to tipsyelves.com/games now to get 20% off your entire order. That's tipsyelves.com/games for 20% off today. And lastly, let's talk about Manscaped. Support Kinda Funny Games Daily. A support for Kinda Funny Games Daily comes from Manscaped, who is the best in men's below-the-belt grooming. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. Jingle balls to the walls, fellas. Listen up. Untrimmed pubes are a thing of the past. It's time to gear up and get yourself the gift of shaving this holiday season. I am talking about the Manscaped Perfect Package 2.0. Tim and Greg use it, and they seem to be happy with their balls. Manscaped Lawnmower 2.0 has proprietary advanced skin-safe technology, so this trimmer won't nick or snag your nuts. It's also waterproof so that you can use it in the shower. The Lawnmower 2.0 comes inside their Perfect Package 2.0, which makes for the perfect gift this holiday season. It's literally everything you need to keep trimmed, cut-free, and smelling nice down there. The Manscaped Perfect Package 2.0 also includes the Crop Preserver, an anti-chafing ball deodorant, and moisturizer. You already put deodorant on your armpits. Why are you not putting deodorant on the smelliest part of your body? And yes, your balls stink. Tis the season to Manscaped, so get yourself, your dad, your brother, and the friend and friends the best gift of all, the Manscaped Perfect Package 2.0. Get 20% off plus free shipping with the code GAMES at manscaped.com. Your balls will thank you. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code GAMES at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping. That's written a lot on this copy. at manscaped.com, and use the code GAMES. Clean up your nuts and make Santa proud this year. I can also confirm that I use Manscaped, and let me tell you, smooth as eggs.
Wow.
Yeah.
I still want to see a KFAF where Nick and Andy use these products.
Oh, man. I would pay money to watch that KFAF.
KFAF After Dark.
Oh, my God.
No.
Oh, my God.
You don't want to see that?
No, definitely not.
BJ Bernardo writes in and says, hi, y'all. With a time to die.
No, it's No Time to Die.
Oh, No Time to Die. A Time to Die. With No Time to Die releasing a trailer today, and with Gary Whitta on the show, I got to ask, pitch me your next Bond game. Is it first person or third person? Is it shooting focused like previous Bond games, or more sneaky like Sneaky Sneak like Splinter Cell? Story ideas. Ooh, thanks, BJ. A Bond game.
It's tough, isn't it? Because Bond isn't just any one thing. Mm-hmm. Like, I understand how they're sneaking around, but there's also like a lot, like when you've seen Bond games in the past, they've typically been, not always, but they've typically been, you know, adaptations of the existing films, and they just recreate whatever scenes were in the films.
Yeah.
That's the kind of old-fashioned way of doing movie games. We've also seen some original Bond stories done. But, you know, they're sneaking around.
That's
there's
they have, like...
car chases. Yeah. There's a bit of... There's fights.
And I think it's
there's gambling.
Much. None of it is great, you know?
No. Mm. Well, so going back to our earlier conversation, you know what I would just say? We were talking about like bringing old games up to date. Just fucking bring back GoldenEye.
Oh, my God.
Inarguably, the most beloved Bond game of all time.
I've
just bring that shit up to date and put it on Switch.
Have you tried playing it recently?
No.
Because, like...
I'm sure it doesn't hold up, because none of the N64
games
do. It
does not hold up. But I would love for them to, like, you know, bring it up to standards.
Yeah.
You know, have dual sticks, make it
oh
feel like...
Oh, my God.
You know, it doesn't have to feel like Call of Duty.
And put it out on all platforms, not just Nintendo.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, that would be hot. Like, I would be down for that. There was, like, a third person...
proper online multiplayer, like, the whole thing. Not just, you know, split screen.
There was a third person Bond game for a PS2 that I remember liking a lot. I can't remember which one it was. It might have been Nightfire or something.
Yeah. No, there's never really, outside of GoldenEye, there's never been a really great Bond game.
I mean, here's the thing. I played this game that nobody talks about called The World Is Not Enough on N64. It was like the other Bond game on N64.
Uh-huh.
I owned it. I didn't own GoldenEye. I thought World Is Not Enough was incredible. And it might have been because I hadn't played GoldenEye. But
you bought the wrong Bond game.
Yeah. It had a blue cartridge. I was really excited about it. But, like, that game, in my mind, was pretty excellent. And that's another one that I would love to come back. Oh, yeah, here's, like, the...
Oh, we're looking at a trailer? Okay.
Yeah, The World Is Not Enough. Yeah, this is the loading screen here.
Oh, my God. This is what I mean about how N64 games don't hold up. Look,
they do.
That's an abomination.
Yeah. It doesn't look good nowadays. But, like, you know, this is, like, right now you got the card and the gun, and you get to, like, go... you have to go visit a guy. It's going to go into a cutscene. And the cutscene's excellent because, like, they get into an argument and then a shootout and all this stuff. This right here, right? Bond is, like, talking to this guy who's supposed to be, I think, like, the middleman for, like,
I mean, look at this.
On.
That's Pierce Brosnan right there.
There is,
come on,
charm
come
here.
On.
Oh,
there
shit,
is charm here. Like, how can you not love this?
Oh, I let me
ways.
Count the
so
ways.
I've played this mission probably like 50 times, like a lot, because I really enjoyed it. And this game has great multiplayer too. It has like bots that you can play against, which I don't know if GoldenEye had bots.
Okay.
But
it's a GoldenEye style game, right? Just
yeah.
First person shooter.
Yeah. And this
Barrett's
is like,
shaking his head. He's not happy.
I think this was when Rare lost the license, and it was developed by, like, I think EA.
Well, EA did a whole, remember Nightfire? They did a whole bunch of games
EA?
That were both based on movies and were also their own original stories.
Yeah.
Bond stories.
But yeah, like, I would want something different. There was a game I played on PS2 that was called, actually, there were a few of them, Spy Hunter. On PS2, which was
Spy Hunter.
On the PS2 version, like it was essentially a remake or like I guess reboot of like the old Spy Hunter games. But yeah, Spy Hunter on PS2 was essentially a game where the whole time you're in a car, you're doing missions with like your high tech car that had like guns, rockets, had a hovercraft feature. Yeah, Kevin's bringing up a video of it too. Like,
is this Spy Hunter that's based on the old arcade game?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And so like you have this cool car, and essentially you have to like complete objectives while completing your mission, and like you basically have to pull off these missions as best as possible, right? You have to like right now like this guy is dodging the cones, because if you hit the cones, you then like get like marks off or whatever.
Just like a real spy.
Yeah, I would love a James Bond game that is like a Spy Hunter, like a 3D, like you're driving a car, but like one of James Bond's like high tech like cool cars. He has multiple
but doing,
cars.
But
right?
doing a Bond game that's just one thing, like driving cars, seems like really limiting.
Yeah,
I want the whole Bond experience. I want to drive cars. I want to sneak around. I want to gamble in casinos. I want to wear fantastic clothes.
You want to really
know?
Live
I want to meet beautiful women who are going to kick my ass.
Have you played the Hitman games, the recent ones?
Yeah. So I mean, I'm trying to think like what would be a sideways. What would be a fresh way into doing a Bond game?
I think if somehow Rockstar could be like, hey, we're going to license.
Oh my God!
This. And then they just
Rockstar.
Added,
would, I mean, it would never happen, but they would make a killer Bond game.
Yeah, but that's
remember
what
Agent?
I'm saying. Like, all I want is it for it to be integrated, like a new story, mission. Not mission, but like a whole story, like a new story in that game world. you know?
Oh, yeah, like almost like GTA 5 DLC where yeah, like, exactly. It is James Bond.
Like, it is James Bond DLC, yeah. And it's just in that world, and it's got
I would
same,
love that.
Yeah.
That'd be super dope. I'd be into that.
And like, here's what they should do. Like, you know how there's always like excitement over like who the next James Bond's gonna be? Like, it's a big media event when they announce the next James Bond. They do it like every 10 years or so. Like, do that. Like, cast a well-known actor like Idris Elba or something, and say like, here's the new James Bond, but like he's the video game James Bond.
Dude,
but it's gonna be cool because this is gonna be a video game that's like every bit as cool as a movie.
That'd be cool. Like if it was like a Troy Baker or like, you know, like I don't know, a good like video game voice actor. As James Bond being like the video game version, and then like on the other side you have Idris Elba on the movie side, like that'd be like a cool kind of.
No, but I feel like that's setting your sights too. Look, it's Troy Baker's in fucking everything. I love Troy Baker, but in fucking everything.
Laura Bailey.
Like I feel like get a big Nolan.
That'd be dope,
I love all these guys, but they're in literally everything.
Yeah.
Like find like a real like someone you could actually. Look, go to someone like Idris Elba and say, look, Idris, you're fantastic. You're not going to be the movie James Bond for whatever reason because we've got someone else that we like better or whatever. But, like, how would you like to be there? You'll be just as legitimate the next James Bond as Daniel Craig, but, like, in the video game format. Because video games are just as legitimate as movies.
Yeah.
They should do a big media event where they say, here's the next James Bond that's going to carry forward the James Bond legacy in video games. And it's this person. But it's like a proper fucking actor. Like a real movie star. Barrett, you're nodding.
Dope.
Do you agree
kinda
with
like
this?
Kind of like Norman Reedus or whatever.
I'm on board,
yeah. Yeah, right? Yeah. Right? Preach.
I'm with it. That sounds super dope. I'd be into that. Lawrence writes in and says, morning, KFGD crew. Hope you all slept well. With the Jedi Fallen Order trailers that spoiled the ending of the game, it's called something into question for me.
I'm glad I missed those trailers, by the way, because I've not played the game yet. It sounds
do
like they
not
really...
watch...
Did they really fuck up? Like, did they really spoil it in the trailer?
It's bad.
Okay.
Yeah.
How did that get through the system? It seems really dumb.
Is it one of the last things that happened?
Yes.
It's one of the very last things
that obviously don't
that
spoil
happened.
It, because I haven't seen it yet, but
no,
like...
We're not. And no one in the chat will, you hear me?
Yeah. In chat, don't spoil it.
Yeah, no one in the chat, please.
He continues, I was one of the people that got caught with the spoilery, unskippable ad. And he says, I'm only halfway through the game, which that's a bummer.
That's fucked up.
And I'm wondering at what point does it, if at all, affect the merit of the game? Between the technical issues and this, it's definitely sucked a lot of wind out of my sails for this game. But I'm curious to hear your thoughts. Have a great day, guys.
How bad a spoiler is it?
It's one of those things where it's really... It's cool for Star Wars, but I think for the narrative and what like Cal Kestis's journey is, I don't think it like super matters. Yeah. And that's probably what their like mind like kind of train of thought was of like, oh, like, yeah, this is like a cool Star Wars thing, but for like the importance of what the story to its core is, it doesn't really matter. So yeah,
is it the sort of thing like they felt like it had more value as something to show as like, here's why you're gonna want to play this game.
But yeah.
Rather than they cared more about that than they cared about the spoiler.
It's like, for me it's kinda like how weeks after Endgame came out, they started having the TV ads that was like the iconic scenes from Endgame.
Right.
It felt kind of like that. Except like, this was a thing where like I don't know why, because it's a scene that like happens pretty quickly, and it's something that isn't like Barrett said, right? It's not super pertinent to the story, but for me the thing that made that moment cool was I didn't see it coming.
Right.
And so like for me, like for that part of the game to be in the trailer just made no sense
to
me.
Yeah, it makes no sense.
And it's definitely
at all.
One of those things where like people will watch the trailer and see that and be like, oh snap. That's in that game. I'm gonna play that game.
Yeah,
and
so like, I feel like that's why they did it.
Yeah,
exactly.
But like even
it's
so,
such
like
a deception.
If you see that and be like, that's why I'm playing that game, and then you play the game, you might be disappointed because like it's not like
that's
that,
a moment.
It's like a moment, and then it's like it's over. Yeah,
but I don't think it's like
for example, doing a Rogue One trailer when the movie was only out for a couple of weeks and showing a shitload of like Vader in the hallway.
Yeah, it'd be like that.
Right? Like you wouldn't want to, like, I can understand why people go, oh shit, I want to see that. I'm going to go. But like that scene is great because you don't fucking know it's going to happen.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
And when it happens, it goes, oh shit.
Yeah.
So like yeah,
it's
I get
like
it. That's
yeah. It's in that vein. So
but to go back to the question, I don't think it ruins the experience because I think the experience is like Cal Kestis's like story and his arc and like the crew that he has. I don't think it completely ruins the game, but I do think it's a bummer because it does ruin that really, really cool
movie. I hate the whole world of now having to dodge spoilers.
Yeah.
Like I haven't gotten to play Jedi yet because I've got other things I want to play first. I'm hearing there's some technical. I'm waiting for a patch. I'm just not going to get to it right away. But because the age we live in, I'm constantly fucking dodging. They're everywhere.
Yeah, it's a bummer. And I had a tweet about this about like a week or so ago that like, you know, The Mandalorian, it being week to week, one, it's great because, like, you know, nobody's gonna like spoil the end of the season for me, you know, like watching it right now. But at the same time, every Friday morning, I wake up on Twitter and people are talking about what just happened in the new Mandalorian.
You just gotta mute everything. Mute the hashtags. Mute the keywords. A bummer because that's what,
like,
I do.
I also want to be a part of the conversation, but it's one of those things where.
But, I mean, that's where watch the episode as soon as you wake up. You know,
it's in here. Like the difference that's between it and like Game of Thrones or something that's like on TV is that there's a set airtime for Walking Dead, for example, where everybody's watching together, but like Mandalorian just drops at whatever time. I don't even know what time it drops.
It drops at a time, and that's the set watch time.
Yeah, so but it's like the middle of the night though, right?
I feel like it's been really inconsistent with like when it drops.
I don't know. I always look at it, watch it in the morning, and I don't check social media, you know, until I've done stuff like
that. And so like that's, you know, there's pros and cons to it, but spoilers are kind of a bummer, especially like spoilers for... Spoilers that are spoiled for you in a trailer.
That's not
a big bummer. Let's get into Squad Up. This is a bit of a strange slash sloppy one. This comes from Adam, it looks like. Bit of a strange slash sloppy one, but wanted to give a shout out to someone who has tried very hard to make the Kind of Funny community even better for me. I attended the Kind of Funny World Tour UK meetup the other week as part of a gift to myself for my 30th birthday. Happy birthday. I had an amazing time meeting Greg, Tim, and Nick, as well as a whole load of UK best friends who were amazing to hang out with. What I wasn't aware of was the fact that my girlfriend, Rachel, was at the same time emailing and DMing all the Kind of Funny crew to ask if they could give me a shout out at the event. She sent a variety of emails and DMs and tried her hardest to make the event even more special. I just wanted to give a shout out, Rach, to say you're a badass and I love you so much. Thank you for trying to make such a special part of my life even better. You tried so hard, and I genuinely am thankful for you every day. Anyway, sorry for making the Squad Up section a bit of a romantic mess, but thought you should know the impact you and you have on both KFBFs and the people who love them.
Wait, so he didn't actually get the shout out? Sounds like he didn't.
Did he not? I think
it says thanks for trying.
I don't know.
Kevin, did he get a shout out or not?
Were you in? You weren't in UK.
No, they wouldn't take me. Those assholes.
Let us know when.
Well, let's do it now.
Yeah. Oh, Adam. Shout out. Yeah, shout out, Adam.
We're giving you a shout out right now. You're the man.
I'm wearing his clothes, so. Hey.
Oh, but a lot of like the Santa Claus.
That fucking black piece of coal in his heart, Greg Miller wouldn't do it, but I will.
Yeah.
Shout out to Adam.
Shout out. And he says thanks and keep up the great content. I'll relay that to Greg Miller, who's probably watching. Let's get into your wrong to see what
did we get wrong?
We got wrong today. Not much here. So let's see. John Ron 2000 says it was mentioned that RE3 story was important for RE canon. However, RE3's events. Did we talk about?
Hey, you got my name? Excuse me, Kevin. Can you check my Chiron there, please?
Your car?
My Chiron.
Chiron. Oh.
Looks good to me.
Does it? Look again. Keep trying.
All right. Oh, yeah. Missing.
All
sorry.
I ask is that you spell my name right.
Now, man, in the lower thirds.
Did you spell it right?
What do you mean?
On your Twitter?
Did you copy and paste it from Twitter?
Did I spell my own name correctly on my Twitter?
We did Blaster for you last time.
Oh. That makes sense.
You didn't change it, Gary?
That makes sense.
Gary?
Let's apply Occam's razor to this situation, Kevin. What do you think the simplest explanation is here?
I'm going to assume that John Ron's You're Wrong was referring to yesterday, because I don't think we talked about RE at all.
I changed it to Merryweather. I do that every Christmas. But that's not the part that's spelled incorrectly.
Hmm.
You know, I can't say either way.
I mean, I can. It was right up there on the screen.
There's no way to know now.
No, there's no way to know?
Not now, but we can confirm what we can.
You want to go to the tape?
What we can officially confirm is that you did in fact spell it different on your Twitter.
Where have I spelled it differently?
Your name isn't Mary. That's
no, but that's
else.
Not the part that's incorrectly spelled.
Look, you spelled no one.
The Witter part is spelled correctly,
Mr. Witter,
on my
no
Twitter,
one, no
as
one
it always
can
has
confirm
been.
Whether or not that is spelled incorrectly, there's no way to do that now.
The this
image
is recorded.
Came up, it's gone. You're right, we can't look back now.
Yeah, there's no going back.
In several hours, maybe.
Yeah.
The nanobiologist writes in and says, Gary doesn't like Christmas more than Greg, who wore a full Christmas suit yesterday.
It's interesting. I think Greg does love Christmas. I love it, too. This shouldn't be a competition.
Greg's favorite holiday is Halloween, though, right?
Yes. Is it?
Can you love Christmas if your favorite holiday is Halloween?
No, you can love it.
No, you can't argue to you can't say you truly love Christmas if it's not your favorite holiday.
Thank you.
It has to be number one.
I don't think that's true. While Halloween, I mean, Christmas is in fact my favorite holiday. I don't necessarily think that you have to like it has to be your number one for you to be able to love it.
AJ writes in and says, Kevin said the Harry Potter movies are good. They are in fact not good movies. That's AJ.
AJ I like those movies. AJ what? Tell me his name. I'll block him on Twitter.
It just says AJ. And then the nanobiologist says, Christmas was celebrated in Harry Potter, Order of the Phoenix, and Half-Blood Prince. Interesting. Interesting development. Oh, and I'm scrolling down. Now I'm seeing a whole bunch of your wrongs. Somebody somehow took up a whole like page. And so, let's see.
You writing anything good?
Kebab says, Sony stopped producing Vita in March 2nd of this year.
Oh, so relatively recently. So yep. 2019 is officially the year that Vita died.
We'll miss you every day, dude.
Imran said the same thing. A lot of people are saying that. Khalif says, Blessing said that the Vita was a good console. It is not. let's see. Then Mystery Yasman is running in and saying that CD Projekt Red is discontinuing Gwent on console, which they'll probably cover tomorrow. I think that came in like right before
we started.
Yeah, but I just says it's Steven Universe, not Steven's Universe, and it's a fantastic show. Tell that to the document that I'm reading from.
See, there's plenty of people out there, Kevin, that agree with me that the Vita was not good. That's why it's dead.
Kebab said they did bring back GoldenEye for Wii, and it starred Daniel Craig instead.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, I remember.
But I want the full on new one.
Yeah, like you don't really want to play a GoldenEye with like the motion controls on the Wii. Like,
no, I don't want any of that.
Really?
You could do it with the Joy-Cons on the Switch, but I want it on every platform.
And Big Bad Beluga says, bless, the third-person Bond game you're thinking of is Everything or Nothing. I think that is the one. I think. Was Nightfall not third-person, though? Maybe, I guess it wasn't.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Nightfire,
Nightfire, not Nightfall. Yeah.
You're getting it mixed up with... You're conflating Nightfire and Skyfall.
Skyfall,
you're getting your Bonds all mixed up. An easy thing to do.
Yeah, yeah, there's a lot of them. That brings us to the end of Kind of Funny Games Daily for today. Sorry for making it so long, but hey.
No, I'm telling you, they love it.
It's the content.
They love it.
What a Wednesday. What else? What a Wednesday if not an hour and a half?
If not a meandering shit fest.
Exactly.
Yes.
Thanks for having me, Greg, and Kind of Funny, everybody. Thanks for having me back on here again. And yeah, until next time, it's been our pleasure to serve you.